The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 14, verse 8 to 12. It is page 211 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. In Lystra, there sat a man, crippled in his feet, who was lame from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was a chief speaker. Amen. Apostle Paul, who came down with endemic disease in Perga, did not return home, but rather risked his life to cross over the rough peaks of Taurus Mountain and went to Pisidian Antioch and preached the gospel. As a result, the words of life came to seep through all over Pisidian Antioch, a city of emperor, which was rushing only towards death. And many people came to have new life in Jesus Christ and greatly rejoiced in it. But the party of Jewish leaders who became jealous of Apostle Paul incited the God-fearing women of high standing and leading men of Pisidian Antioch and led them at the end to persecute Paul and Barnabas, and they ended up expelling them from the city. But because of this, paradoxically, Apostle Paul came to preach the gospel at Iconium also. At Iconium, which is 180 kilometers away in southeast direction from Pisidian Antioch, and which could only be reached after crossing 30 mountains, Paul also preached God's words, and countless numbers of Jews and Gentiles there also became God's children who received salvation. If Paul and Barnabas had not been chased away from Pisidian Antioch, they would not have obtained salvation. Therefore, the fact that Apostle Paul was expelled from Pisidian Antioch due to the evil plots of the Jewish leaders was actually the mysterious providence of God that would save his people at Iconium. But there were also Jews who rejected the gospel at Iconium. Such Jews incited the Gentiles, who were more numerous than them, and caused them to become hostile to Christians in that region. And they weren't satisfied with that, and they even got the government officials of Iconium involved and tried to legally stone Paul and Barnabas to death. But Paul and Barnabas had no choice but to escape from Iconium. In effect, the Jews of the Iconium ended up chasing Paul and Barnabas away. Paul and Barnabas, who was expelled from Iconium, also preached the gospel, and at this time, because Apostle Paul was chased away from Iconium and went to Lystra, as I had mentioned last week, and as we will look in more detail today, a person born crippled from birth became healed as a result of Paul and Barnabas visiting Lystra. And not only that, because Paul went to Lystra at this time, he was able to meet Timothy. Paul, who is seen visiting Lystra in today's text, visited Lystra again exactly about 1 year thereafter. And at that time, he made young men Timothy, who was living as a faithful Christian, his spiritual son, and a co-worker. Now, since when would Timothy have started to live as such a devoted Christian? Clearly, it would have been from the time that Paul visited Lystra in today's text as a result of being expelled from Pisidian Antioch. When Apostle Paul went there to preach the words of God in today's text, Timothy was among the people who were listening to Paul's sermon. Not only that, but when God, through Paul, healed a man who was born crippled, Timothy also was there at the most historical scene where this miracle was unfolding and witnessed this amazing work of God with his own eyes. From then on, Timothy became a sincere Christian, and after about 1 year, when Paul returned to Lystra again, the devoted Timothy became Paul's spiritual son and his co-worker. And we said that the letters Paul later wrote to Timothy, who was pastoring the Ephesus church, were 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. And through 1 and 2 Timothy, we are able to know how each one of us who makes up the body of the Lord should nurture ourselves to become a true church, and how we could maintain the faith and the rightful attitude of a true person of faith until we are called by the Lord. Therefore, that Apostle Paul was expelled from Iconium was also the providence of God, who not only would heal the man of Lystra, who was born crippled, but also to give us, who are living 2,000 years later, the first and the second Timothy, which are the precious words of God. In this way, at Pisidian Antioch, Paul at Pisidian Antioch and also at Iconium continued to receive humiliation of being subject of evil plots. But it was definitely not something to get upset over the injustice of it all or be shunned before God, because this was all a mysterious process by which God was accomplishing his mysterious providence. Therefore, we have said that the lives of those who completely entrust themselves to God's words become, in and of themselves, the mysteries of God. Now, from the perspective of the world, it looked as if every time Paul became the subject of an evil plot and he was chased away, everything in Paul's life ended in vain. But each time Paul was expelled from where he was, the more mysterious providence of God became fulfilled through Paul's life. How could there be a mystery that is more mysterious? And this is why Apostle Paul confessed as follows in Romans 8, verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. This was not some empty theory that Apostle Paul sat in a solitary room by himself and made it up in his head. It was a living confession derived from experiencing God's mystery beyond imagining each time he endured evil plots and sufferings in his life. In this way, the lives of those who live in pursuit of God's words will be knitted together with God's mystery. And it is only the people who know this will have the fierce force of life no matter what bleak situations that may fall upon them. Let's see how the mystery of God became revealed through Paul in today's text, verse 8. In Lystra, there sat a man, crippled in his feet, who was lame from birth and had never walked. Paul met a man there, and the text calls him a man crippled in his feet, a man who was lame from birth, and a man who had never walked. The text repeats the expression with the same meaning three times. The person who recorded this text was Luke, and originally, Luke's occupation was that was doctor. So Luke, in recording the text, is emphasizing the fact that this man was born as a paralytic from waist down, a condition impossible to cure medically. Let's look at verse 9. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Although it is omitted in the Korean version of the Bible, the text begins with the demonstrative pronoun hutos in the Greek original. Hutos means this very man. Who is this very man? He was the born paralytic that the preceding verse introduced to us. And what did he exactly do? He listened to the God's words through Paul. Paul, who went to Lystra, delivered the God's words there also without fail, but when we reflect on Paul's actions up to the time he arrived at Lystra, we find something different from before at Lystra. Before Lystra, Paul always first went to a Jewish synagogue and preached the gospel there, no matter where he went, because it was easy to meet a lot of people at the synagogue. But at Lystra, he did not go to a Jewish synagogue. Lystra, which was a site of collective residence of retired Roman soldiers, didn't have a Jewish synagogue because not many Jews lived there. So Paul delivered the gospel outdoors and not in Jewish synagogue for people of Lystra who worshipped Zeus and Hermes. If there had been a Jewish synagogue at Lystra also, so Paul had delivered the gospel in the synagogue, Jewish synagogue, a place where the handicapped persons were shunned, then this paralytic person would not have been able to listen to the gospel. Now, the fact that there was no Jewish synagogue at Lystra was also a grace of God for this man. But even if Apostle Paul had publicly delivered the gospel outdoors, if the paralyzed man of today's text did not listen to the words, then nothing would have happened in his life. Now we can easily see how a man who was born paralyzed would have lived his life in despair and would have ended his life in despair. But this very man heard God's words, and by listening to God's words, his life came to a new turning point. And this is why it is so important to listen to God's words. It is from listening to God's words, that the relationship of God begins. In Greek original, the verb listened is recorded in imperfect tense. It signifies that this man who was paralyzed from the waist down crawled to the place and just listened once, just for a while, or absentmindedly, but he listened from beginning to the end with total attention. And when this very man listened to God's words this way, what happened then? Let's look at the next verse. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him and saw that he had faith to be healed. While Paul was delivering God's words outdoors, among all people who had gathered to listen to him, he noticed the paralytic man, and he saw that the man had faith to be healed. Verse 10, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. Paul commanded in a loud voice to the man to stand up on your feet. At the same time, the man, who had never stood since his birth, jumped up and walked. The reason that Paul was able to command the paralytic man to stand up on your feet was because all the time that he was preaching, he had noticed the man and observed that he had the faith to be healed. If Apostle Paul had not observed him, then no matter how attentively the crippled man had listened to God's words, the miracle that today's text speaks of will not have happened. However, isn't Paul just a mere human being like us? How can a miracle that's testified by today's text happen because a man, Apostle Paul, a mere creature, paid attention to and looked at a paralytic man? Therefore, the fact that Paul had noticed and looked at the paralytic man means that it was not Paul, but God, who had led Paul to that place, had noticed and looked at the man through Paul. One of the reasons why God made Paul expelled from Iconium and make him had to go to Lystra was to save this crippled man. Then let us picture today's story in more detail. Apostle Paul, who was kicked out of Iconium, had come to Lystra. To be more precise, it was the Lord who led Paul to Lystra, had come to Lystra in person using Paul as his pathway. And the Lord proclaimed his words of life through Apostle Paul. He invited the crippled man to come to him without any hesitation through Paul. The paralytic man looked intently at Paul's face and listened attentively to the words of the Lord, which was being declared by Paul with all of his heart. That this crippled man looked at Paul and listened to the words of the Lord meant that he had made eye contact with the Lord who had come to him and was looking at him. The moment the eyes of the Lord and the eyes of the crippled man met together, the Lord said to him through Paul, "Stand up on your feet." And the man, strengthened by the Lord's words, jumped up from where he was and stood up. We witnessed a very similar scene before in Acts. It is a scene in Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 10, a happening that occurred at a gate of the Jerusalem temple, which was called Beautiful. There too was sitting a man crippled from his birth. He was already 40 years old, and he was a beggar who begged there every day. Before that man, Peter appeared. The man who noticed that someone had stopped in front of him looked up at Peter absentmindedly with unfocused eyes and begged for alms as usual. But Peter, who stopped before this man, gazed at the man. Although the man had looked at Peter absentmindedly, but Peter gazed at him, and he demanded that the beggar look at him. At this, the man finally paid attention to Peter and looked at him. The eyes of Peter, who was looking at the beggar, and those of the man had met. In their mutual gaze, Peter looked into the eyes of the beggar and said the following, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And as Peter held out his hands and raised him up, the lame man, who had never stood up since his birth for 40 years, also jumped up and walked. On that day, the gaze that the lame man had met on that day was not the gaze of Peter, a man. Even if his gaze has met that of Peter, who was uneducated and didn't have anything, hundreds of times, it would have been just a waste of time. The gaze that the crippled beggar met was the gaze of the Lord, who looked up on him through Peter. The Lord first came to the crippled man and gazed at him through Peter. And he invited the crippled man to look at him. And at the same time that the man's eyes and the Lord's eyes met by the invitation of the Lord, the man who had been lame from birth, who was paralyzed from the waist down, jumped up. Here, we can define faith as the following. Faith The faith is to fix our eyes on the gaze of the Lord, who first came to us and looks upon us and gazes at us. From the moment our eyes and the gaze of the Lord meet, the work of life begins in our lives. Among our expressions about a young man and a young woman being in love, there is an expression, 눈이 맞았다, meaning eyes have met. It is truly an appropriate expression. From the moment the eyes of a man and a young woman meet, from their gazes running into each other, the flame of love begins to burn. But it is not the case that they come to know everything about each other, no matter how often that their eyes happen to meet. There are so many cases where clearly their eyes had met and they married, but they suffer heartaches because they cannot understand each other. In the book, The Empty Space of My Wife, a book by Mr. Lee Jae-jong about the sorrows and challenges of raising his son by himself after losing his wife, there is the following story. One early morning, Mr. Lee had to leave early for work and could not prepare a proper meal for his son. He quickly heated up the leftover rice from the night before and made some steamed eggs and left home in a hurry. That night, when he returned home, he threw himself on his bed after taking off his suit, too tired to think of dinner. But at that moment, there was a sound of something being squashed beneath him, and he felt something funny. He lifted the bed cover to discover that a cup noodle had been squashed, and the soup and the noodle were all over the bedding. It was clear that it was a prank by his young son. In thinking about how he now had to wash the ruined sheets and bedding by himself, he became angry. He jumped up and took a coat hanger that came into his view and spanked the back and buttocks of his 6-year-old son who was playing with the toy. But when he heard a full explanation from his tearful son, he had to hit himself in the chest. The child had eaten the rice in the rice cooker and steamed rolled eggs that his dad had made for breakfast and ate lunch at kindergarten. But when his dad did not come home in the evening, he made himself a cup noodle for dinner. And because his dad always said not to touch the oven because it was dangerous, he got some hot water from the boiler and made a cup noodle to eat. And he made one more cup of noodle, and not knowing for his dad, and not knowing when he was returning home, he had put the cup noodle in bed so that it would not get cold. Since this man was a single dad who was raising a 6-year-old son after losing his wife, how often must he have met the eyes of his beloved son? But no matter how frequently the eyes of the dad and his son met, the dad cannot know the inner thoughts of his son. This is the limitation of men. But because God created us, He knows us better than ourselves. He reads the deep thoughts that even I myself cannot read. Such God has discovered each one of us among 6 billion people, came to us first, and invites us to look up at Him while gazing at us. When 27 years ago, I, a spiritual paralytic, had looked up at the Lord responding to His invitation, when the eyes of the Lord, who had come to me long before and was gazing at me, and my eyes met, the Lord pulled me up, the spiritual paralytic, and made me to stand. And every day, every hour, every time, He guided me and took responsibility for me so that I could live a new life. brothers, beloved brothers and sisters, God knows my hurts that nobody on this earth knows. God knows my sadness, my pains, the way that I must go, and He's the only one who can raise us up from the state of spiritual paralysis. Now, let us all raise our eyes and look up at Him. Let us fix our eyes on Him who is gazing at us through words and prayers. The moment our eyes meet the eyes of the Lord, who have been gazing at us from long ago, the Lord will say this in looking into our eyes: stand up on your feet. And from that moment, our lives will begin anew. The Lord has come to us first. And here is the reason that the Lord came to us before we came to Him and is waiting for our gazes to meet. Let us pray. Paul was originally a violent man who rejected the Lord and trampled on the church. But the Lord went to him first and gazed upon him and called him on his way to Damascus. Paul asked the Lord, "Who are you?" The Lord answered, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." At that moment, the eyes of Paul met the eyes of the Lord. And from then on, Paul awoke from the spiritual paralysis that he was born with and became the pathway for eternal life and love. The Lord also went first to the beggar who was born lame, sitting before the beautiful gate of Jerusalem temple. And using Peter as his instrument, he gazed at him and asked him to look up at him. The moment the eyes of the beggar met the eyes of the Lord, responding to his invitation, the man born lame jumped up and lived a new physical and spiritual life. Using Paul as his instrument, the Lord also went first to the man of Lystra, who was born crippled, and personally declared the words of life through Paul's lips. The moment the eyes of the crippled man who was listening to those words met the eyes of the Lord, he became healed in body and in spirit. We thank you that the Lord has discovered each one of us among the 6 billion people, that the Lord has come to us first, that the Lord is gazing at us, waiting for us to look up at Him. Dear Lord, who is the only one who knows our hurts, our sorrows, our pains, our loneliness, and the way that we must go, and who can heal our body and our spirit, allow all of us to look up and gaze at you who is gazing at us. Allow eyes to meet your eyes in words and prayers, and thereby allow us, born as spiritual paralytics, jump up in our bodies, in our spirits, and live on as your eternal pathways who raise up countless people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.